This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Vicki Bolson is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company located in Indianapolis. Bolson Group is the first B Corp certified company in Indiana, but Vicki understands that you don't have to be certified in corporate social responsibility in order to use business as a force for good. Join Vicki as she talks about why it's always worthwhile to take care in business.
Sawyer, how are you doing on this Sunday evening?
Oh, doing great. Got to enjoy some NFL football. So the season's underway. So that's exciting. Wow,
they're doing a fantasy football league at the office.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in this group chat and everybody's texting all night tonight, you know, with different comments about it. I didn't do it because we give prizes. And so I don't want to do it because I want them to have a better chance of winning the prizes, but I do the bachelorette. What do they call it? Bracket contest or whatever. But okay. Then I just don't give myself the prize if I win, which I never do. So, but anyway, we're here taping on a Sunday night because we are talking with someone all the way across the pond, which is super exciting. I love the, I'm listening for the accents. I know you probably are as well. Yeah. But we're talking with a person by the name of Rachel Powell, and I'm really excited about this because she is responsible for Xero's global sales, marketing, communications, and customer functions. And Xero is a small business platform that is located in Australia. And what I think is really cool is that she is under the direction of a CEO by the name of Steve. And, you know, I didn't ask how to pronounce his name. I think it's pronounced Vamos, but we can ask Rachel when we get her on here. But he has taken his company carbon neutral, which is super cool. And they have a plethora of other sustainability initiatives and I'm sure socially responsible initiatives at their company that I'm super excited to talk with Rachel about. So I just want to say welcome to you, Rachel, and thanks so much for joining us on your early Monday morning.
It is my pleasure to be here, Vicki, and thank you for having me. It's great to talk about something that's just so inspiring, particularly in today's day and age when we're all living under the cloud of the pandemic.
Absolutely. And did I say Steve's name right? Is it Vamos?
Vamos.
Steve okay. Vamos. Ah, dang it. I thought I was all fancy. Okay. Steve Vamos. Okay. Well, I love that that your company is carbon neutral. Bolson Group, my company, we went carbon neutral this year as well.
Congratulations.
And we are not nearly as large as Xero, but we... you know, we have a less than a dozen of us, but the process was so amazing. And I learned so much just going through it, just to find out what our footprint was. I have so much I want to ask you, but were you with the company when the company went carbon neutral?
Absolutely. I sure was. So just a bit of a history lesson on Xero. And that'll help me answer this question. So essentially, Xero is actually born out of a small place in New Zealand called Wellington. And our founder, Rod Drury, was based in Wellington, and he managed to take our business global from day dot because we were born in the cloud, which meant that, you know, back then, 14 years ago, it was pretty amazing to have a cloud-based organization. You know, in the financial services sector, if you like. So we were originally just accounting software in the cloud, and you can imagine a whole lot of resistance to people wanting their financial data in the cloud. And now it's really just the norm, the way that we're going. So Rod was a real thought leader in the space, and we've since evolved to be a small business platform, which means that not only do we have our core compliance offering, our cloud-based accounting solution, but we have a platform that we have 1,000 ecosystem partners plug into, and we're now across 180 countries. We've got over 4,000 employees, And, you know, we are connected to multiple, you know, hundreds and hundreds of financial institutions that just make small businesses dealing with each other and dealing with their financial institutions and their advisors really simple, smart, and seamless, just operating within that cloud-based platform environment. So I have actually been with Xero for 5.5 years, and I started my journey at Xero as the Chief People Officer, and then have taken on incremental responsibility. And then back in 2019, October 2019, I handed the reins of Chief People Officer over to somebody that I'd brought into the company and groomed to be my successor, and have been focused on the customer side of the business since then. So looking after everything end to end, from sales, marketing, communications, digital transformation, customer support, customer success, and importantly, customer education. So yes, I the social environmental impact, the SEI team, sits in under my remit, under my head of comms. We actually have it sitting in under there. And I remember when I gave that responsibility to Karen, who is our EGM of comms globally, I said to her, I want to become carbon neutral, by 2020. And I gave her that aspiration, or that goal, I suppose, at the start of 2019 or the end of 2018. And by October 2019, we were carbon neutral.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you, first of all, for explaining what Xero does. For those of us in America, it's like QuickBooks, right?
Correct.
QuickBooks in America, Xero in New Zealand, and well, globally and throughout the world. So thank you for that, because I did not get to that, and I was going to ask you. Secondly, how exciting that it was a goal you had, that you met the goal even earlier. Tell me about how in the world you figured out your carbon footprint with that many employees.
Well, like you described earlier, it is a process. It's an arduous process. And we used some consultants that worked with us. We also hired somebody to look after our SEI team. So we hired this amazing lady whose name is Anne Arashobi. She's actually from San Francisco and had worked in the Google team of SEI. And she brought with her a plethora of information and a plethora of experience. In fact, she's the only person that I've ever interviewed and offered her a job at the end of the interview. I got to the end of the interview.
You
and
got
I was
to
like,
the end and you just knew.
I said, you are exactly what we need. So, and Anne has, we hired her in June 2019. She went about putting together an overall SEI strategy, which had components of environment, components of the business support, what we were going to do to support the millions of small businesses that operate on our platform, and how we could help them become carbon neutral as well, and what we were going to do in the community. So I can talk a bit about the strategy that's broader than just the environmental piece. And this is all encompassed with diversity inclusion, which I think is a really important component for organizations trying to stand apart from their peers and really be morally praiseworthy in terms of their efforts in this space. So we hired Anne in 2019, and she went about working out what our carbon footprint was, and then importantly working out how we could offset that footprint. And I think we did an amazing job of doing that in a very short period of time. We launched Net Zero at Xero, which was a campaign which got all of our employees on board. When we reached that carbon neutrality, we actually did huge, I think, celebration and accomplishment is a big component of employee and organizational well-being. So we made sure that with that Net Zero at Xero campaign, that we actually, you know, went out and promoted that and celebrated that. And because it sits in under the comms team, you can imagine the comms team had a plethora of resources to be able to promote what we were doing. So, you know, with that in mind, I think what we're really proud of is, you know, we've got a lot of the accolades that come with respect to being carbon neutral. We're only a handful of the ASX. So we sit on the Australian Stock Exchange, and we're only a handful of the companies on the ASX that are certified by Climate Active, which is the Australian government certification body. And, you know, what we did is we worked out what were some of the offset organizations or that we wanted in our portfolio. So we deliberately and we engaged our employees. So we have a lot of passionate zeros. Our demographic is actually made up of a lot of people that are really socially conscious, and it becomes a bit of an employee value proposition to talk about what we're doing in this space. So we engaged our employees to actually look at how we could offset our carbon footprint against some of the initiatives that were available to us. And I'm proud to say that we're engaged with the Fisherman's Bay Conservation Project, which is in New Zealand, our homeland, which is a small scale project of about 59 hectares. And it's predominantly focused on Indigenous forestry recovery with several high value conservation activities, including protecting the breeding habitat of endangered yellow-eyed penguins and some extremely rare plants. So we've developed a long-term partnership with a team at Fisherman's Bay. If you look at our annual report, you'll see some photos of our managing director, Craig Hudson in New Zealand, who's based in New Zealand there, and Steve Amos, who went out and actually visited the conservation project in Fisherman's Bay and, talked to the team about what they were doing there. And the other one that we put some focus on is the Katingan Menteya project. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that properly, but they're in Indonesia and they're a world-leading forestry project that protects critically endangered species in the orangutan environment in Borneo. So this project contributes to 9 of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So it's another one that we've chosen. And then we've got a whole lot of other activity that we do, because I think our focus now is not just on, you know, paying the carbon offsets that make us neutral, but also working on what we can do within our own environment by reducing our carbon footprint, which of course we've seen done through the reduction in travel through the pandemic, but also just more of the tactical small initiatives that all add up to making sure that we're reducing our footprint as a corporate entity across the globe.
Is being environmentally conscious super common in New Zealand? Or because in America, it's starting to get more play. In Indiana, I mean, we literally, like I was one of the first companies that became carbon neutral. And so I just wonder like how much more predominant it is there.
I would say, yes, it is probably more predominant than it is in the Northern Hemisphere. For example, a lot of the funds that invest in ASX listed companies won't invest in companies that aren't taking really deliberate and conscious measures to reduce their carbon footprint. So there's a lot of external pressure from the investment community on companies. And of course, it's not the only reason that we do it. We do it because it's the right thing to do. I'll give you another example. We've moved significant funds to sustainable financial instruments, such as investing our cash holdings in a company called BlackRock's Leaf Fund, which only invests in companies performing well in ESG. And, you know, we've also selected default pension funds for our employees in Australia and New Zealand, where we pay superannuation, which only invests in companies with strong ESG practices. And if you listen to any of our AGMs, our annual general meetings, you'll notice that our chairman, David Thodey, he always opens the meeting. And if you listen to the last recording, which you can find on our website, he actually talks about the initiatives right up front. It's the first thing he talks about before he talks about any of our performance. And I think that we also feel an enormous responsibility to not only be carbon neutral ourselves and reduce our carbon footprint. And again, this is only one element of our SEI strategy. There's other elements around what we're doing to support the community and what we're doing around diversity and inclusion and additional business support for small businesses, which are a really underserved segment of the market that don't often have access to the tools and the resources that they need to help with their own their own footprint and their own evolution of understanding and why this is important. So, I think, Vicky, to answer your question, I think there's a lot more pressure that we're seeing globally, but definitely in the Southern Hemisphere, on publicly listed companies. And then we get the same sort of positive pressure from our employees who are demanding that, and, you know, people that we're looking to attract to the company as well, from the conversations that I have with the talent team that work on recruitment. More than 50% of the time, people are asking us as they're making a decision about coming on board what we're doing in this space.
Wow, more than 50% of the time. That's awesome. I was going to ask you, you kind of touched on this about, that your employees are, nearly demanding it from you, which obviously with the companies I talk to, I ask often, how much is this helping with recruitment and retention? And everybody reacts positively to it. But that's astounding that 50% of the time, people that you're interviewing or asking about that. I also find it very commendable that it sounds like the leadership team at Xero are all very sort of purpose-driven leaders. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yes, absolutely. And just going back to, the comment about I call them passionate players, our Xeros. We actually did a staff survey when we first started on SEI, and 98% of the respondents said it was important to work for a company that cares about the community, and 80% felt Community Connect made Xero a better place to work. And Community Connect is that other part of supporting communities that I talked about in our strategy, where we give our staff time off to go and work on something that's for purpose in their community. So our staff take that up and they go off and do things that are related to the environment or related to other social causes in the community. And interestingly, another interesting statistic for you is that half our Xeros are involved in our SEI Slack channel. So we have, often a two-way dialogue between Anne and her team, the SEI team, about what we're doing. And, we have this Slack channel that just engages our employees in terms of their ideas. We also run things like hackathons in our product organization, and I'm often the judge on those hackathons. And some of the ideas that the product team bring back in terms of what product offerings we can be developing that sit on the Xero Small Business Platform that calculate, you can imagine with all of the data going through our platform, we can easily help small businesses calculate their carbon footprint. So at the moment, we're using one of our ecosystem partners to help us in that calculation that plugs into the Xero platform. We are so helping cool. Small businesses to really identify their own carbon footprint and then helping them understand through our help portal what they can do to offset their carbon footprint as well.
Oh, I love that. Are they finding and you're seeing that they're surprised by I was by how inexpensive it is really to offset your carbon footprint?
I think that's right. I mean, not only is it inexpensive, but there's plenty of different options as well. And I think imagine, we have over 2.5 million subscribers on our platform, and, our purpose is to improve the lives of people in small business, their communities and advisors around the globe. So if we can help them in terms of educating them on what they need to do to reduce their carbon footprint, then I think that has this amazing, what we call the human ripple effect from the inside of our organization out through the communities in which we serve. So, I think that there is so much opportunity, but what I want to see is us also not just provide ways to offset through paying for it, but what else can we be doing as an organization to deliberately, it's very easy to throw money at the problem, but it's harder to actually make a change to your behaviors. And I think that is the journey that we're now on then, being really deliberately and conscious in terms of the things that we're doing. So, we've got things like some of our procurement policies is making sure that we are working with suppliers that are putting the same sorts of initiatives in place. We are also working with AWS, who hosts a lot of our platform, to ensure that we can work with them to reduce their carbon footprint. Our employees constantly come up with ideas. We have a zero t-shirt that we put out annually. Last year, we decided not to put one out because we realized that that was going to be creating, it was going to be taking us in the wrong direction with respect to our carbon footprint by producing all of those t-shirts, particularly when we had a t-shirt for every year. So everyone's cupboards were full of these Zeros t-shirts, even though it was a different design every year. So, and now we're looking at different sustainable fabrics and printing devices that allow us to do those things. When we run events, we make sure that we're always working with suppliers in the catering field that have packaging, which is sustainable packaging. So, yeah, going back to your question about our leaders, absolutely. Our leaders are, they're thought leaders in this space. We've got quite a contemporary and positively provocative leadership theme and leadership sort of culture across the organization. And I think this comes back to the other part of our SEI strategy, which I talked about, which is a focus on D&I. So if you have that diversity within the organization, then you're best representing the population that you're serving, both inside and outside the organization. And, we're focused on all elements of diversity, but just one element that I'm particularly proud of, because I've seen it go from, you know, being much lower in terms of percentages when I first came on board nearly 6 years ago, to where we are today just on gender diversity. We have over 60% of our executive leadership team who are women, and over 40% of our employee population who are females, which is quite high for a technology company.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you definitely are, you know, walking the walk. You know, you would be such an inspiration, Zero would be, as a B Corp company. Have you considered becoming B Corp certified?
Well, yes, we have actually. And we go through all of those certifications. So this is what Anne and her team work on all the time. And as you know, these aren't easy certifications to actually work through. So they are constantly working with the legal team and with all of the various constituents across the region too, because we are a global organization. We need to look at that. So there's, I can't even keep up with the amount of certifications that we have now and the awards that we've got, but we're constantly looking at what we can do to continuously challenge ourselves and put ourselves in front of the race, not behind. There's a really interesting theory in positive psychology or in positive organizational scholarship. So pos psych is something that I studied, and I love the theory that talks about social environmental impact, or how you can actually stand apart from your peers. And it's got to be three things. It's got to be morally praiseworthy. It's got to be discretionary. So it can't be you're doing it because everyone else is doing it or because you're trying to get these certifications, but it's something you choose to do. And then the final element that makes up this positive organizational scholarship is positive deviance. And I love that term, because that is about like looking at the norm and doing things different to the norm, but in the realm of positivity. So what are the things that you can do to constantly challenge yourself and put yourself out there to be ahead of the curve rather than lagging?
Oh, absolutely. And I think anybody who goes after a certification, because it, for the three reasons, the opposite of the three reasons you said, it's not worth doing, you know? I mean, it needs to be authentic and from the heart, you know? And I think the reason I think you'd be such a great role model in the B Corp certification community is that my company's B Corp certified, and I just get so much information and ideation from companies like yours, you know, that are doing things. It helps me to improve and for my company and then the community I serve to improve. But I think that there's so much education that needs to take place as far as sort of the myths of being a sustainable company, socially responsible, whatever. And the one I get the most is that it's going to be so expensive. You know, we're not going to be as profitable. No. And I hear that is the number one reason people don't invest in this type of, and not that they're not, I mean, I'm not saying companies aren't touching maybe one area of social impact or, you know, everybody is touching it in some way, I believe, you know, they've got their thing that excites them, but to comprehensively sort of look at what is the right thing overall, I think that the myth is that it would be incredibly expensive.
I think that's a massive myth too, Vicky, because, you know, you even if you just take the offsets that you can procure are not expensive. But like I said, that's only one element of what you should be doing. That's kind of the easy way about things. It's looking at how you can offset what you must offset, but how you reduce your own carbon footprint through the initiatives you run through the business. And then it's about the thing is, if you've got employees that want to join your workforce, and the best employees are the ones that are educated and understand and are passionate about what the organization is doing for the greater good of humankind, they're the sorts of employees that you want. So they're the sorts of employees that are going to improve your productivity and create, you know, the fantastic results for you as an organization. But then on the other side of the coin, you've got customers. And customers are also making choices. They're voting with their feet and they're really doing the research to understand, is the business that they're working with as a partner or in terms of procuring their product or service, are they a corporate socially responsible organization? And, you know, that is absolutely something that we see. Oh, there's the dog. That's the life of working from home, isn't it? So, but I think that, you know, with our goal is to help small businesses thrive. We're committing to making a positive impact on the world and in people in small business by, you know, providing them with this education that you talk about and the wide ranging support, and then committed to deepening our relationships with our partners to making sure that we're working with them on ensuring that they are having the same impact through their organizations and to the rest of their customers, which is why this philosophy that I talk about, which was cultivated in my time as Chief People Officer of the Human Ripple Effect, like really understanding that we need to get it right on the inside first, really understanding that we need to actually have the right people on board in the organization that are passionate about our purpose, and really empowering those people to play an active role in the future direction of our company on these, some of the most important elements like social environmental impact, and how that ripple effect becomes contagious out to our partners, our accountants and bookkeepers that then support the millions of small businesses operating on the Xero platform.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you have doled out all kinds of pieces of advice, I think, and just in our conversation, but if someone came to you and said, hey, listen, Rachel, we don't even know where to start. We just don't, you know, we really know this is important. We are not a customer of yours, so we're not getting this, you know, inspiration from you because we're connected. I just need to know where to start. What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, the first thing I would tell them is we were exactly in that position. You know, there were tactical things we were doing across the organization, but before I spun up this this team and started to focus on it more deliberately, now we're only talking about 2018, where we really started having deliberate conversations about what we wanted to stand for and how we were going to get there. And we were in the same position. Where do we start? Like, where do we focus? Even on D&I, which was one element of social environmental impact, part of the strategy, where do we start? Do we start on gender? Do we start on, you know, other elements of diversity? And we thought, well, we've just got to start. And then we thought about the environmental component. Where do we start? And I, you know, like I said, I threw the goal out there to the team. And this is what's really important. Like, as leaders, you don't have to have the answers. You just have to have the vision. And you throw it to people and believe in the people that you're throwing it to, that they will come back and they will have worked out how to get from A to B to C. So, you know, the first thing Karen did, who, you know, who I threw that challenge at in terms of being, you know, carbon neutral by 2020, she managed to kick that out of the park and achieve that by 2019. And she knew she needed to get somebody inside the business that had actually worked on this before. And that's where she found Anne. And then Anne went about building a team and putting together a strategy, which we got signed off by the board, which included some investment. And then we just were able to show progress through here is the strategy and here is our goals and this is what we've achieved so far and this is where we're heading. And then turning our attention to our customers and our small business communities, then focused on how we could actually share with them. So we have a culture of abundance where we say if there's anything that we're doing internally that we think could benefit someone else, let's share it. So we're definitely a very transparent and open organization. And then we started to share with our small businesses by ensuring we had the right apps plugged into our platform that could help calculate carbon footprints for those small businesses, and then helping them be educated in terms of how they could offset their carbon footprints. So yes, if you're not a Xero customer, you probably don't know a lot of what we have done and how we do support our communities. But we do have public resources available if anybody did want to go on and have a look. So we have a resource called Xero Now, which is around helping build sustainable businesses, that has a plethora of assets and information for small businesses to read about. We have blogs that are often on our website. And then we have the Small Business Guide, which has tips for small businesses to be more sustainable. So if you want that link, it's www.xero, that's zero with an X, xero.com/au/about/social-and-environmental-impact. And there will be a plethora of resources there that hopefully can support not only our small businesses, but any business that's looking to take this journey.
You closed me out perfectly. I was going to make sure everybody knew that Xero was spelled with an X. And I was going to say my advice is to go to the website because it's amazing. Even if you're just trying to get like kind of a framework of what you've accomplished to give someone an idea of how to get started. Yeah, I mean, it has been amazing talking to you. I commend the whole company, wow, if I lived in New Zealand, I would want to come work there.
Oh, you don't have to live in New Zealand. We have offices in
all over, 4,000 people all over
the world. We're in the US too. So we've got a head office in Denver. We've got an office in Toronto. We've got an office in New York. We've got an office in San Francisco. So we have about 12 or 14 offices across the globe. So yeah, in Europe, in South Africa, in Singapore. I happen to be in Melbourne, but head office is in Wellington. And even that's interesting, like our executive team that I mentioned before, of which I'm part of, reporting to the CEO, we are distributed between Auckland, Wellington, Melbourne, Brisbane, Singapore. What am I missing? I think that's it. And so, all of the managing directors that report up to me as the chief customer officer, you know, we have we've got a managing director for Americas who's based in Denver, looks after Canada and America, one that's based in the UK looking after EMEA and South Africa, one that's based in Australia looking after Asia and Australia, and one that's based in New Zealand looking after New Zealand and the Pacific Islands. So we are definitely a global company. We very fast growing and very innovative and contemporary in terms of our desire to make the world a better place with what we're doing ourselves and what we're doing to support our small businesses across the globe.
Yes, absolutely you are. Well, since my dogs are starting to go nutty, Sawyer, you close it out for me because they're barking.
All righty. Yeah, the co-host got a little angry. They weren't getting screen time, but it was great to have you on. So thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you guys next time.
It was fantastic to be here. Thank you so much for having me, and good luck with your with your endeavors moving forward, let's hope we can turn a lot more businesses thinking this way and make the world a better place.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you.
Thanks, Vicky. Bye.
I just want to thank Sawyer Benj, our producer, and our show sponsors, Selflessly and Charge. If you'd like to nominate someone for Taking Care in Community, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com, or email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to our sponsors, Selflessly in Charge. And until next time, take care in business.